You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Young jazz musicians will be immersed in practicing and performing this weekend with the 14th annual Tea Garden Jazz Festival. It's hosted by the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. What a treat they are in for. The featured artist is Jim Cullum of Riverwalk Jazz. It's a rare opportunity for everyone to learn from and see Jim perform live. In the studio with me to talk about the weekend is Patty Jones, Executive Director of Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. A lot of excitement about this. Can you imagine if you're a young artist and you hear or know that Jim Cullum is coming?
It really does make a big difference. It's every year when we do this festival, we try to have a guest artist of significance to kids and in the traditional jazz scene. And Jim is certainly right up there on top.
Who is the weekend targeted to in terms of music and level of performance?
Well, basically, it's all levels. We try to get kids interested in playing early jazz, also called traditional jazz. Used to be called Dixieland jazz, but that's a little too constraining a term, in our opinion. And the festival itself will have about 26 bands there at the Sac State on Saturday, and that they'll be anywhere from elementary to college. So it's all levels. The philosophy I have is cradle to college. Catch them when they're young, get them to play an instrument or at least listen to the music, and then keep them going at least through high school.
There's a three-day schedule with three different venues. The first day is Friday at Rio Americano High School at the new Performing Arts Center there. And then Saturday is the day you just mentioned at Sac State.
Right, right. We expanded it this year to three full days or almost three full days to try and give more opportunities for people to participate. So tomorrow night, this is only Thursday, isn't it? Tomorrow night at Rio Americano High School, Jim Cullum will perform with the Clinicians All-Star Band, which includes a number of outstanding musicians. And prior to that, the Bop Patrol, which is an outstanding early jazz band out of Rio Americano, which, as we all know, has a tremendous music program.
Oh, it does.
Yes. And they'll be performing first and then followed by the band. And then Saturday is the all-day actual festival. It's a scholastic festival, although it's really non-competitive. And all these jazz combos, it's not big bands, it's combos. And they will perform and then receive feedback from clinicians and adjudicators. And then we give out a whole bunch of awards at the end of the day at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. We'll be giving out about over $7,000 in awards, cash awards and scholarships to our jazz camp and other things. And then again on Sunday, we're doing something out at the Elks Lodge number 6 on Riverside Boulevard, and that is a Mardi Gras themed jazz brunch and concert. So the same musicians that are performing Friday night will also be performing on Sunday afternoon at the Elks from 11 to 3, but included with them will be our own youth trad band, which is TNT, the New Traditionalists, and the band that's coming to the festival from Colorado.
Well, just to get everybody in the spirit, let's listen to a little bit of West End Blues by Jim Cullum. Jim Cullum has led the Jim Cullum Band for, 50 years. He is a legendary jazz cornet and trumpet player, and he's the featured artist at this year's Tea Garden Jazz Festival in Sacramento. There is an opportunity for the public to come hear his band play. This is a rare and wonderful aspect of the festival.
Yes, it is, because I don't think he travels around playing that much. He's become very deeply involved in some archival stuff and preserving the West Coast revival, as we call it, of jazz on from the 60s, the 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s and 60s, actually. And so it is a very rare opportunity. It's very easy. For the Friday night performance, the doors open at 6:30 p.m. It's a $10 admission fee. It's a great acoustics. If you haven't been to Rio's new Performing Arts Center, it's outstanding. And then same thing on Saturday. It's $10 for the whole day if you want to hang around and actually see the festival in action or see the awards being handed out. And then again on Sunday, the Sunday concert is $15 admission.
Tell me about working with Jim in the lead up to this.
Well, you know, Jim's a wonderful guy. He's very talented, obviously, but he's not too tech savvy. So he doesn't have voicemail on his cell phone. But he answers his phone usually when I call him. And he doesn't text, has a little difficulty with email, but he says he has a secretary. So hopefully that'll take care of everything. But you know, Jim is just, he's such a fountain of knowledge and history within the traditional jazz community. And one of the things that we try to do at the Jazz Education Foundation, the reason we focus on traditional jazz is because a lot of kids want to learn jazz, but they don't know how to improvise. They don't understand the basic concept of performing in a jazz combo. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We start out with traditional jazz. We get them into that. It's fun to play, fun to listen to and dance to. The kids just take to it like fish to water, as the saying goes, and it helps them later on when they take that education, that heritage, and they take it on to other levels and go into more modern stuff.
The San Francisco Chronicle published an article just in late January, and the first line reads, to give everybody an image, Jim Cullum is a traditional guy, a suit, bow tie, a little mustache, glasses. He looks like an old-time banker. So keep that picture in your mind, and let's listen to by Jim Cullum and his band Potato Head Blues. So you will have an opportunity to hear Jim Cullum and the Jim Cullum Band this weekend with the 14th Annual Tea Garden Festival hosted by the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. The executive director, Patty Jones, is in the studio with me. We had hoped maybe we'd have Jim on the phone with us, but he's traveling today to get here. So I think we just missed our connection. However, he has been busy moving and dedicating his music library, and he serves on the board of directors for the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation Collection at Stanford. So can you talk a little bit about do you have a crossover with his effort?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was talking to him on the phone last week, and he mentioned that, which is the first time I'd heard about this project with the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation and getting all of that working with to do an exhibit or something at Stanford and to get all of that collection there. And I told him, I said, well, that's how the whole Sacramento Jazz Jubilee and all of that started back in the 60s, was part of that same West Coast revival that actually started in the Bay Area with Lou Waters and Turk Murphy and those people. They basically started it out on the West Coast. Or revived it, as they say.
Will you talk about the name change that the Sacramento group has undergone?
Sure, and sure. It's been very confusing.
Yeah.
The original organization started in 1968 was the Sacramento Traditional Jazz Society. They were a nonprofit, and in 1974 they had the first Sacramento Dixieland Jazz Jubilee at the time. And after some 44 years of festivals, they had to file bankruptcy. And then we were a sister organization that was created in 1996 for a different purpose, which was to raise money and fund youth programs.
Patty, believe it or not, we do have the legend himself, Jim Cullum, on the phone with us. Mr. Cullum, welcome to Insight.
Hi, is this Beth?
It is. Hi.
Hi, Beth. Famous Beth.
talking to the famous Jim. I'm so glad to have you on the phone. Will you tell me your thoughts about working with the young artists this weekend? There are a lot of students that are excited to have you here.
Well, it's just great. This thing is famous all around the country. The Sacramento Jazz Club started this years ago. Yvonne Au, I know really well. She's been active for years and years in all this. Her kids came up through it. And I know a number of other people that have become great artists, like Bria Skonberg. I know several of them. I've performed Animal on the Radio. We've done a lot of things. And just kind of the offshoots of the jazz activity here. Some of our musicians that I've worked with have come and been involved in it. And it's a great thing. What else you want me to say about it?
Well, Patty was saying that the kids really are looking forward to lessons in performing in a combo, in being out there in front of the audience and sharing their music. So what's your guidance going to be to them?
Well, I have to listen to them a little bit and see kind of where they are. But, usually I just give them some ideas about playing together in a simple way, and I give them, I have to see where they, how they sound. Some groups sound a little different than others, and I try to get them to play together and listen to each other, and not play for themselves as much as they play for the group. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes they're already well adjusted to this, but the secret to playing in an ensemble is to play with the other people, and you have to listen to the others carefully. And there used to be a thing we used to call, you listen to the other person, whoever seems to be the leader. For example, with the horns and an extemporaneous ensemble, it tends to be the trumpet player. And you tend to, as far as the time, the rhythm, you try to swallow his phrasing.
So many years in your career, so many venues and the shifts in jazz, what's still bringing you excitement and joy? What part of playing music still feels new to you?
Well, I find a lot of stimulation in playing. I play for myself, basically. Different people get different things from music. I'm not doing it for adulation from the crowd or for a big career, really. That's never been the thing that motivated me. I enjoy playing with the other people, just like what I was just describing. There's a certain thrill for me in making an ensemble, sparking an ensemble, making it really swing hard. Those are the things that are thrilling to me. And that's the reason I do it, because I get a big bang out of it. And, fortunately, I've been able to make a career out of doing something I love. And so it's been terrific.
What's changing in traditional jazz? Is the audience changing?
Well, there's a lot. The thing that's changing that I see is there's a lot of young kids that are playing it. Also, there's for the last, I guess, 15 years or so, I've been doing this for so long, but there's interest in swing dancing that's all over the country. And a lot of these, sometimes it's there's the first cousin of real traditional early jazz and more organized section swing bands. Is a very narrow one. The connection is narrow. It's a similar rhythm feel, similar rhythms, almost the same kind of rhythm sections. And the end result may sound a little different, but as far as dancing to it, it's just almost the same. So we play a lot of these swing dances, and it's not the main thing that I do. But I do some of them sometimes, and the kids just go for it like crazy. And so that's a new thing, a relatively new thing. It's a rebirth. I've seen the music reborn and you know, in fact, I've just been working on a new website, a streaming activity from Stanford University about the rebirth of jazz with Lou Waters in San Francisco in 1940, which we never expected, never thought that there were any thought that anything like that could happen. So there are things that happen in the music that you would never dream of. That's been a long time ago. But, you know, this swing dancing phenomenon is a thing that we never could have imagined. 20 years ago, we never could have imagined that would come around. And then all the kids that come and they're playing music, there's a big scene in New York with a lot of young kids. Some of them have come from the Sacramento jazz camp, Sacramento groups, young groups. And I guess that may answer your question.
You're listening to jazz legend Jim Cullum of Riverwalk Jazz. And Jim, in the studio with me is Patty Jones from the Sacramento Jazz Education Foundation. Of course, the two of you know each other, but I didn't ask Patty if there's going to be any dancing to your music this weekend.
Actually, there will be on Sunday. The Saturday and Friday, there is no place to dance. But absolutely, Sunday, we have a huge dance floor out at the Elks, and there'll be 4 hours of music. It'll be really great.
Ah, did you know that, Jim?
I didn't know that, but I'm happy to hear it.
Have you thought about the fact that a lot of the kids with you this weekend haven't even been alive for half of your career? I mean, the perspective is amazing.
Well, my career has been going for, over 50 years, and I've been playing professionally and playing this kind of music, and it's the only kind of music I've ever played, it's the only kind of music I was ever interested in. I've never played, as a trumpet player, I've never gone out to play, like some trumpet players talk about. Well, I played the circus in 1972, and I was on the road with Woody Herman and,
wow.
You know, stuff like that. I've never done anything like that
yeah.
in my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, I've played in front of symphony orchestras, but I've never played as part of the symphony orchestra. I've just never done those things. I've never been interested to do that, and I've had the luxury of playing only the kind of music that I wanted to play, and so that's what I've done. So there you go.
Well, like I said, a whole new generation of young players this weekend, and I know everybody's very excited.
I didn't answer your question quite correctly, but so I've been playing the music for 52 years, and the kids have been. Some of these kids are, teenage kids. And so, they're barely a third of my career.
Yeah, I heard some are as young as 10 years old, Jim.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic, I knew, I guess you guys know from Sacramento, the Al family. Right? You know,
yes.
Somebody knows those guys.
Oh, yes. And the brothers come in with different groups. They all play in so many different bands.
Yeah. And, I know their uncle, Howard, plays the trombone. He's quite a great player in the tuba. But these kids, I knew them when they were real young kids. And, I was doing the workshop over at Stanford, and they came around, and they were students, you know. Now they're so accomplished, such great players.
You know what else they have, Jim? They have kind of a wink in their eye. You know, they have a little sparkle when they play that makes you really feel their spirit, and I love seeing that in a musician.
Yeah. Well, that's another special thing. But I think they grow that whole family. I've seen this with a lot of other kids. You know, it's terrific. I guess it's been a couple of years now, but I did a week at Dizzy's, the famous Dizzy's Coca-Cola Club in New York, and we had Bria Steinberg there. She's a product of the Sacramento activities, and although she's originally from Canada, but she came down and was. Very active here.
Right.
They had several groups, and she was active in those groups. You know, an all young women in the group that got to be kind of famous on the festival circuit for a while. And the Mighty Aphrodite. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, have.
That was the name of the group.
Right.
Mighty Aphrodite.
Right. Well, Bree's music is often featured here in our Sound Advice whenever she has a new release. But I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm so glad we were able to get you on the phone and get a little preview of the visit coming up. And I hope it's as wonderful a time for you as I know it will be for the kids and their families.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for visiting and talking. Coming over to the festival, are you?
We'll be over to the festival, and the festival is this weekend. We'll post a link online. That's Insight for today. Thanks for joining us.